Somalia, though, is clearly not alone. Countries like Syria and Yemen are also seeing rising COVID-19 infections. It's a huge challenge for the new director of the International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, Robert Mardini, who's been in the role for just a month. What a time to take up such a role. He joins me from Geneva this morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I want to come to some of those countries I've just listed off that are racked by conflict. I do want to start, though, with Lebanon, which is your country of origin. And it has been in the news significantly this week, not just because of the hunger and the poverty, but also the sort of breakout of protests on the streets. There's a very significant number of people that have fled war in Syria that are there. How much of a concern is Lebanon for your organization right now?
Well, we are present in Lebanon. Lebanon has been hosting great numbers of Syrian refugees and is facing an unprecedented economic crisis. And of course, on top of this comes the coronavirus and the COVID-19 crisis. The good news is so far, Lebanese people have been very disciplined in dealing with the pandemic. But of course, it is only one challenge coming on top of many others, and the dire economic situation and the volatile state of public services is of course a matter of great concern. We're supporting the Rafik Hariri Hospital, which is hosting today and treating many patients of COVID-19, things are relatively under control on the pandemic front, but there are many unpredictable factors there.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. It's societies which are already under significant strain, like so many of the countries that the ICRC operates in. I think the Lebanese government has said up to 3/4 of people there are in need of aid right now. How do you go about helping? I know you've got specific work being done in one of the hospitals there where they're dealing with COVID-19 patients. But when you see this unrest emerge, triggered by the moment, what can you actually do?
Well, hope that things won't go totally uncontrollable. In this hospital, things are going bad, are going very well, because the ICRC invested for now 5 years in this project, and the hospital is able to absorb a caseload of patients, plus the most vulnerable of the vulnerable in Lebanon who don't have access to healthcare services. So this is fine for now. But of course, it's very hard to tell how the pandemic will develop in a very fragile environment. And Lebanon is one country among many others. If you take countries like Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, South Sudan, who have a health system devastated by years of conflict. In Yemen, less than 50% of hospitals and health centers are functional today. The same in Syria. So you can imagine if you have big numbers of COVID patients who need treatment there, how difficult it is to reach health care services at a time where conflict is still there, where airstrikes are there, where bombing and fighting is still ongoing and people very much on the move.
In Syria, the official numbers show that just over 40 cases of COVID-19 are present, at least 3 deaths. But as you say, this is a chaotic situation at the best of times currently. Do you have any possibility of keeping an accurate monitor of the spread of COVID-19 in these places?
It is very hard. We see that in the most developed countries enjoying the most sophisticated health systems, testing is a big challenge, and the numbers and the statistics are only a tiny part of the reality. So you can imagine in places like Syria, like Yemen, Yemen have officially one official case of COVID, but we've heard from our colleagues that the total number of tests that were carried out so far were only 100. So this is maybe the tip of the iceberg. This is the visible part of this pandemic hitting countries in extreme fragility, where ordinary people wonder every day, what is the biggest threat? Is it fighting, bombing, shelling, airstrikes, or other non-communicable diseases? Because people are still dying in Yemen because they cannot get insulin, they cannot get dialysis session. So it's very hard. It's very hard for people.
We're obviously aware that there's some 45 Australian children, 20 women stuck in the Al-Hol camp in Syria's northeast. What are the potential implications of a large-scale COVID-19 outbreak in these parts of the world?
Well, let's take a moment because the situation in Al-Hol was extremely dire before the COVID-19 pandemic hit Syria. So we were doing a lot to alleviate some of the suffering, increasing water supply. We are, together with the Norwegian Red Cross and the Syrian Red Crescent, running a hospital there, where now we took some preventive measures. But I mean, again, if we face massive cases of COVID-19 in the camp, it will be extremely difficult to cope. There are no ventilators. There is no curative capacity to deal with the pandemic there. This is reality in Al-Hol, and this reality is the same in many camps where displaced people live in very difficult and dire conditions. And this is the big challenge of this pandemic hitting countries facing conflict, be it in Syria or in the Sahel, in the Lake Chad region, in Somalia and many other places. So we hope the pandemic will not play out the same way we saw it playing out in some European countries, North American countries, or China.
You mentioned countries where they're struggling to cope with this sort of situation. What about countries like Australia, where we are relatively on top of this virus? You know, I've been approached by refugees being held on a single floor of a hotel in the city of Melbourne. They were brought to Australia under Medivac legislation last year, waiting for medical treatment. And they report that they are being kept inside without being allowed outside, that they have grave fears about the conditions in which they're held because they're sharing hotel rooms. And there's no realistic end in sight because the travel restrictions in place currently mean that they don't know when they might return to the places where they were held, in places like Manus Island. Is that the sort of thing you're worried about as well?
Of course. I mean, this pandemic shows that the solidity of the response is as robust as the weakest link. And this is valid everywhere around the planet. And there is no exception in Australia, where, by the way, the Australian Red Cross is doing an amazing job supporting communities across the country. And I think all people, irrespective of their legal status, should enjoy the same medical treatment and the same conditions. That would be our recommendations, because it is the right thing to do, and it is also the right thing to do to avoid the spread of the virus across parts of a country and from one country to the other. It's a global challenge, and the only way to deal with the global challenge is to have a global response and to shift into cooperation and solidarity mode within each country and globally.
Robert Mardini, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's the new Director General of the ICRC.